first thing that comes to our mind, that word is connected with action. It's connected with answers we're seeking for questions, answers we're seeking for problems. Somehow, something that comes out of our life that will cause God to move and answer our prayers or answer our desires. And that certainly is a part of it. Faith is an action word. It is a means of, I'd say, of conveying spiritual energy and where God can move on our behalf. But really, I think there's a more important aspect to it than just the actions and the answers. Faith is the realm where we're called to live and abide. Faith is more than just something that we exercise to get results. Faith is a place where we can live in a true connection and relationship with the Father. It's a realm where we discover our true identity as defined by God and not by our human history. It's a realm or plane of spirit whereby our thinking can change and we can really have our minds renewed into God's thoughts and the mind of Christ. I believe the goal of the Holy Spirit, which is in our lives to lead us into all truth, is there to bring us into this realm of faith where we can live and breathe in that realm. It's kind of interesting when you think about the spiritual side versus the religious side. The spiritual side always is connected to the role of the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do? It leads us into. Do you sense any frustration with that? No. Leading means we're moving. It means new vistas, new doors opening up. Yet with the religious nature, it's all about changing. Changing what we are. Changing the way things are. Trying to make things more presentable to God. And in that realm, there's a lot of frustration. We're always looking at the lack and what we're not and how we can somehow make it different. But in God's realm, He's given us an anointing to lead us into that new level of awareness and consciousness where we can live in Him. Faith is that connector. Faith is that realm where God becomes real. Now, I think that's the goal of the Holy Spirit. And I think if we look at Hebrews 11, the who's who, the list of the spiritual men and women that lived in this realm of faith. In some cases, you can read about it and say, well, it's something that they did. There was an expression, an action of faith. But in a lot of cases, it dealt with more than just action. It dealt with consciousness. I'm thinking about Abraham when he took Isaac to be sacrificed. The angel saying, you're to put Isaac on the altar. Yet when Isaac questioned his father, Abraham said, God will provide the sacrifice. It was more than just his obedience. That was a tremendous part of it. Don't you think that Abraham had a different level of consciousness? He lived in the realm of faith. He says he was a friend of God. Because he believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's where this whole lineage of faith begins. But Abraham lived in that realm, and he wasn't thinking exactly the same way as we would in our human reasoning. That story just terrifies us. Giving up the very thing that's most important to me, my son. Yet Abraham was aware of more than that. So again, this realm of faith goes beyond simply our acts of obedience, but it actually is a realm of consciousness and awareness where God becomes a part of the equation of our life, a very real part, the most important part. Now, with religion, I think there are different goals besides in moving into this realm of faith. One goal of the religious nature, I think, is the pursuit of knowledge. And how often do you find this in the religious world? When churches are conflicted or things going on, that the answer is, we just got to get people more well-versed in the scriptures. They just have to know more. Well, I'll tell you what. I don't think we're called simply to know all the right things about God and explain it to others. That's a good starting point, to have the right knowledge. We're called to display the will of God through our lives. So when people come in contact with us, they say, that's what the Father's like. That's the realm of faith. So knowledge is good. It's a starting point, but often it becomes the end point for religion. If you can know everything there is to know, that's what God is after. Well, just let me turn to one verse with regards to that, and this may not be necessary, but if you need any more convincing. In John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus said, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that bear witness of me, and you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life." He's confronting the religious nature here, isn't he? He's saying, you search the scriptures looking for life, but all the scriptures point to me and you want nothing to do with me. So again, the religious agenda can make a real issue out of the scriptures, but in this realm of faith, the scriptures are certainly at the core and foundation of what's happening, but the view through the eyes of faith is these scriptures are here to lead me to the reality of Christ, to his life. Another scripture in 2 Timothy says, they're ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. You know that one? Ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of who's the truth? Who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Another agenda of the religious flesh, I think, is the pursuit, I would call perfectionism. But gotta be perfect. Again, is that an admirable goal? Yes. The problem is, in the realm of faith, we realize that that goal has already been accomplished in Christ Jesus. Hebrews says what about our perfection? Through one sacrifice, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. In the realm of religion, it goes as an unaccomplished fact. Basically, religion is saying Jesus Christ did not do that. And I'm talking about a lot of the Christian world. Because the focal point is we've got to be perfect. We're not there. We've got to change the way our flesh is. That is a very frustrating journey, isn't it? And you never get to where you want to go. The Word of God says in Hebrews 7:19, the law made nothing perfect. And approaching God that way through the law, again, it's not the realm of faith. You can try to be perfect, and that's all it's ever going to be. We can never get there. Because what we're looking for has already happened in our Lord Jesus Christ. We can't reduplicate that with our own efforts. The realm of faith makes us aware of what he accomplished, and we can accept it, and it becomes our reality. His perfection becomes our reality. Galatians 3:3, if you turn there real quick with me. This was another problem that Paul encountered. He talked to the Galatian church. He says, Galatians 3:3, are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? And he goes on. I'm just going to highlight that one verse. See, the realm of faith is the realm of the Spirit. Here people had an introduction into that, and that was to become their abiding place, their home where they lived. And they were drawn away by the religious agenda of those under the law. And Paul is saying, what? You think you're going to perfect yourself by the flesh? Your fleshly efforts? Are you going to find some perfection with that? So a religious agenda generally ties us up with a lot of frustration and futility and doesn't take us anywhere. It keeps us very busy. If you're under the law, you're very busy, always trying to work on something. But in the realm of faith, his finished work is our constant reality. It's a realm where we're also working, but it's his presence working in us, and it's not futile, it's not frustrating, it's life-giving. And that's where the joy, peace, and righteousness are. Hebrews chapter 11, let's just look at this realm of faith real quick. Verse 1 says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This realm of faith is what? There's a lot of hope when we abide in this place. Conviction of things not seen, but it's not a realm where our physical senses are satisfied. No wonder it's easier to turn to a religious agenda, isn't it? It's a plane of spirit where we're hoping in and we know what's true, but it's not confirmed by our natural senses. What else do we know about this realm? Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that which is seen was not made out of things which are visible. In this invisible realm that we are to abide in, that's where all the creativity flows out of. That's where the word of God comes forth and things that are created out of things which are not seen. That's the realm God moves through. What else do we need to know about it? Verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who seek him. This is the realm that God chooses to dwell in. This is the only way we can please him. I think it's good to remember that. In religion, you've got an agenda that says, and depending on which chapter or which church you may turn to or which set of doctrines, there's always different things. This is what makes God happy. Well, in the realm of faith, it's very simple. The realm of spirit, this is the only thing, way you can please God is just to believe that he is and believe that he rewards those that diligently seek him. What's that all about? It's about his intent toward us. So in that realm, it's very simple. If we're believing, God's happy. Because that's the realm he dwells in, and we're dwelling with him. You get down in that realm of religion, the human mind, and it's all these rules and regulations, and no matter how hard you try, you're never quite sure. That's not God's realm. That's the human realm. The realm of faith is where, as human beings, we connect with the divine, invisible God. And that connection's not to be once a week, once a month, once when there's a special service, once when we hear the word. That's our home. That's where we're called to live as we walk through this journey of life. It's the realm, and you know, when we're going back to this thing of perfection, one last thing. We can't perfect the human nature, yet we keep trying. In the scriptures, it talks about two things that are made perfect. In 1 John, it talks about love is perfected with us. You know that scripture? You know, we struggle to change ourselves and make ourselves perfect, yet the word talks about love being perfected with us. We grow in that perfect love. That's 1 John 4:17. And also Hebrews 12:2 talks about our faith being perfected. You see, in this realm of faith, those qualities become perfected within our lives. And it doesn't take our striving and struggling to get there. Hebrews 12, and after this chapter 11, talking about all these heroes in faith who are not made perfect without us, it says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance, every sin which entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Here is the spiritual journey in this realm of faith, fixing our eyes on Jesus. The one that begins the journey in us and the one that's going to perfect this journey of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay, in this realm of faith, this is where we truly experience growth. Now, what is spiritual growth all about? I think it's confusing to us because we try to measure growth too much by how we see our human condition and how we can try to change that condition. The realm of faith creates for us in our awareness our true identity as sons. And I think it gives us a true perspective and picture of what spiritual growth is all about. Spiritual growth is not about your self-control and how well you can change your personality or your weaknesses. Now, maybe they need changing. I'm not saying we shouldn't work on those things. That's not spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is what his spirit accomplishes within us. What we're able to realize and the revelation we're able to experience of him in our lives. So it can never come back to glorify us. Look what I've done. Look how I've grown. I used to be like that. Now I'm like this. That's not spiritual growth. Spiritual growth always brings glory back to God and who he is. Book of Galatians again, chapter 3, verse 23. We're going to talk about what this growth is all about. Has to do with faith, right? Galatians 3:23, before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which later was to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Okay, do we get the picture here? We are under law until this realm of faith becomes real to us and we enter into it. Because the law brings us to the reality of Christ, and when Christ is real, we live in that realm of faith. When we're in that realm of faith, we no longer need to be under the law. Now, there are many people that want to say, we're not under the law, therefore I'll become lawless. No. Being lawless is just another set of laws you're under. The scriptures do not justify rebellion or anarchy or lawlessness. What it's saying is the only way out from under the law is through growth. Letting the law work as it what does with all of us, all a part of our schooling to bring us to the reality of who Christ is. And in that realm, we learn and experience faith. And when we're in the realm of faith, we're being led by the Spirit, we're no longer under the law. So how do we get out from the oppression of the law? Jesus paid the price. He nailed it to the cross. We don't have to be in bondage to it. We grow out of it. And we grow by entering this realm of faith. Chapter 4 says, now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything. Now we know we have everything. Is that true? In Christ, he has made a provision for us. All that he has, he's given to us. But as long as we're a child, we're no different than a slave. What it's saying is we can't access that inheritance, even though it's ours. He is under guardians and managers until the date set by the Father. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. You see, there's a growth here. As we become sons, children of God, the inheritance becomes real. This is what this realm of faith is all about. Are you a slave or a son? Under the law, you will always be a slave. No matter, you could be a Christian for 60 years. You could spend 10 hours a day in prayer, 10 hours a day, well, I don't know how many hours we have in a day, reading, discipline, everything else, and everybody's so impressed with all you do and all your good works. If you're under the law, you're a slave, and it's not his inheritance that you're participating in. You're viewed as spiritually immature. Now, we have a different value system, don't we? People like that we honor and say, look at all the effort they're making. But efforts as slaves is still slavery. It's still not him. The realm of faith is we enter in with an awareness of what he has done for us. And in that connection of faith, remember I said earlier, our sense of identity changes? What happens? We begin to see who we are. This is spiritual maturity. We begin to see what God has spoken about us, and we begin to accept his word that we are sons, not slaves. There's a process of growth in this realm of faith, of turning our lives over to him, of yielding. I don't think we can do this unless we're in the faith. Trying to submit to the Lord and turn our lives over to him and trust him, if we're not in that realm of faith, it's a very scary thing. How can you do that? But in the realm of faith, you know his love for you. And you can lay down all that you are and all that you have for him. So do you see this maturity, this growing from slavery into sonship? It is a process, but I hate to say it that way, because then we think about, you know, lifetime of this and that, and going through this and that. It's a process of awakening. It's not just the years you put in. It's allowing that veil to be rent and allowing the Spirit to bring you into a different level of consciousness and awareness. Does it take a long time? I think it's a lifetime journey. Can it be quick? Sure it is. As we're able to surrender and yield our lives to Him, there are breakthroughs into this realm. It has to do with our will. If you look down, what is the cry of the mature? Is it God do this, God do that? No, that's the cry of slaves. What do the sons cry out? Verse 6, Abba, Father. Romans 8, is it verse 15? Has the same verse, doesn't it, about the cry of Abba, Father? Now, let's find another place that talks about it. We're going to close with this morning. I'm afraid I'm only getting to the first half of the word, but I'll save the second half for next week. Mark chapter 14, verse 36. This is the garden Jesus is in, isn't he? And he was saying, what? Mark 13, 36, in the garden, this is his toughest hour. He was saying, Abba, Father. All things are possible for thee. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. You see the connection here? The cry of a son is not that frustrated cry of daddy do this, daddy do that, but it also can be in a place of a great deal of turmoil, place of travail. Jesus' hardest hour, the Abba Father was connected with, it's not my will that's being done here. Father, I give all that I am that your will be done. Willing his will. I think this has to do more with our maturity than anything else. Oops. Coming to the place where our will is turned over and we will what he wants. That again, that's that cry of Abba Father, the cry of sonship. And outside of the realm of faith, you view spiritual maturity and growth as just many things. Changing this, changing that. Oh, we have an endless list of things. But as we are birthed more and more into this realm of faith, things are simplified. And we realize that we don't have to live like slaves, enslaved to all these laws and rules, a lot of which our own mind manufactures. But in the realm of faith, our maturity is connected with our identity as sons. And growing up with that cry of Abba, Father, is that continual turning over our will to Him. And like Jesus in the garden, time and time again saying, God, I have an agenda here. My mind wants this. I want that. But not my will be done. Thy will be done. That's the mature heart before Him. That's that realm of faith where we're willing to let go of the life we've created for ourselves, the ambitions, the dreams, the things we think we need, we want. In that realm of faith, we can let that go and say, Father, even though in many ways your realm is invisible to me, to my senses, I will your will. I want what you want. Whatever that means in the days ahead, how's that going to play out? How's that going to fit into our dreams and schemes and desires and plans? You never know. It's not something our mind can embrace and figure out or control. But the cry of maturity is, Thy will be done. Even though it's the unknown, I don't know where you're going to take me, Thy will be done. You take me there. And in that realm of faith, I think that's it's also the realm of liberty, isn't it? We're freed from all the fears that belong on that human plane of trying to figure everything out and make things work the way we want them to work. Our life's got to be a certain way. We have plans. We have a way of looking at things, a certain perception of things. We're freed from all that bondage. Because in the realm of faith, we realize that if God's driving the car, we're going to get to where we need to go. And no one else can take us there but Him by the Spirit. and you can let go of all these other concerns, these fears. When that's the cry of our heart, Abba, Father, thy will be done, then we can have peace of mind and heart. Because the only thing that matters is that God's will be done. And his will is the perfect provision for our life. What other cry could we have? Well, next week, I'd like to continue on with this. There was a chapter in the Word that really exemplifies this transition from the human religious plane into the spiritual plane of faith. But I think we'll stop right here for right now. Father, make this realm of faith so real to us. It's not some foreign place. This world is foreign. We've just gotten accustomed to it. Religion is foreign. Our home is this plane of faith which connects us with your heart. And all the anxieties, Lord, that we carry, and the fears and the concerns and the worries, all generated by our own human thinking, our own mind, the natural mind. Lord, we know all that diminishes in this realm of faith, where we're more and more aware of who you are and your love for us. In this realm, Lord, where the true cry of our heart can come forth, Abba, Father, and we can turn everything over to your will. In this realm, Lord, where we discover our true identity as your sons and daughters, not as slaves. Thank you, Father. Just continue the awakening and the birthing within us. Bring us home. Bring us home to this heaven and earth, Lord, this realm of faith where heaven becomes our reality. Amen. Let's stand.